Take your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 15, please. Mark chapter number 15. As you find that, if you're able, stand to your feet. If you're not, you remain seated. But out of respect for the Word of God, if you are able, Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Mark 15, 7, the Bible says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For ye knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, which he had scourged him to be crucified. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful this morning as we get the opportunity to have Lord's Supper and as we read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are thankful, first of all, for you being willing to die, to love us enough to be our Savior. I pray that we be thankful this morning. If there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would come to you today. Be with our pastor now and fill him with your power. If there's anyone here that's not saved, help them to trust you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, I'm going to ask that you turn your cell phone off now. Make sure that it is off, please. And we would appreciate that. And then put it away so that you can sit and listen these few moments. Lord's Supper Sunday always extends our service a little bit. And my plan is to be done at noon. I don't plan to do that, but I plan to do that. That's a political answer. Thank you. You want to talk about injustice this morning? Study the trial of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, the trials of Jesus Christ. In less than 24 hours, he'll go through at least 6 different trials before different religious groups, before Pilate, political group, before the Pharisees, religious group. Look here, and look at me. Every one of those trials, he will be declared innocent, but guilty. Now that's injustice. By the way, listen to me. And you follow those trials, you'll find Jesus said very little through all of them. And he took it like a lamb being led to the slaughter, because that's exactly what he was. The Lamb of God being led to the slaughter. You want to talk about injustice, ladies and gentlemen. Now that's injustice. In those trials and times that Jesus is being tried, we have one lifted here when Pilate is standing there and Jesus is brought forth and the mob is before him, incited by the religious crowd. And he said, what do you want me to do with the king of the Jews? And they said, crucify him. But before you do, it's a feast time and you always release a prisoner. And we want to know what prisoner you're going to release. And as Pilate's considering it, the Pharisees are going to the crowd saying, say Barabbas, say Barabbas. Now, that didn't happen by accident. Barabbas was a known criminal. He was known to have caused a riot in the city in rebellion. And while he was in the riot, causing the riot, he murdered somebody. It even says in one of the Gospels that he was a thief, a known criminal, murdering, rebel, thief, convicted and condemned to death. And the Pharisee mob says, hey, here's what you do. I want you to tell that man up there, Pilate, I want you to say, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And even Pilate is shocked at that. What has he done? What has this man Jesus done to deserve this crime? We don't care. Crucify him. Another one of the Gospels, by the way, they cried out, let his blood, Jesus' blood, be on me. Only time someone ever sought the blood of Christ that did them no good. And Pilate looks around and he thinks, well, I guess this is a woke mob. I better watch myself here. Got to be politically correct. And he says, bring Barabbas out here. He said, let him go. Take Jesus. The Bible says they scourged him. They beat him until you couldn't even tell he was a human being anymore. And then condemned him to the crucifixion. I want to talk to you about what we learned from Barabbas this morning. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, what do we need to learn from a guy who's a rebel? A murderer, a thief. Someone clearly guilty. What in the world could we possibly learn from him? Now look at me this morning, church. Look here, I'm peace. Listen. In some ways, we are all Barabbas. You know that, right? Say, now do that. Now that offends my sensibilities. Then your sensibilities need offending. We're choking to death on this self-image stuff today, where we all have to feel good about ourselves and who we are and what we are. And you say, Pastor Johnson, I go to church and you're telling me I'm like a rebel. I'm like a thief. I'm like a murderer. I'm like that kind of a person. I'm like someone who is known to do wrong. You're telling me, can I ask you a question? Is that really much of a stretch? See, here's what we do. We say, well, but I didn't do that one. I didn't kill anybody. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, the Savior who's about to go to the cross was completely innocent, died in our place to pay for our sins. We crucified Jesus with our sins. So in a very real respect, we are murderers. We killed the Son of God who was perfect and pure. Our sin drove those nails in his hands and feet. Our sin put Jesus on the cross. Our sin caused God's judgment, the Father, to put the punishment and the penalty and the payment of sin upon Jesus Christ. Our sin did that. So yeah, we're murderers. Yeah, but I'm not a thief, Pastor Johnson. You've never taken anything that wasn't yours ever in your life. I'm not talking about if you ever stolen. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, we're all made in the image of God and created for his glory and his purpose. For you and I to take, look at me, for you and I to take the life he has given us and to use it for ourselves and not for God is theft. We're stealing from God. We are taking what God has given us. He has given us the very breath in our bodies. He's given us the very life in our bodies. He's given us, we were created in his image for his purpose, for his glory, made for him, not for me, for him. And for me to take my life and say, yeah, but it's my life and I'll do what I want. You're a thief. Boy, murder, thief. Well, I'm not a rep. Well, oops. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's a rebel in every one of us today, is there not? Now, people, listen. You say, well, now you made me feel bad about myself. Well, first of all, if being the reality of who you are, if that makes you feel bad in God, because God shows you what you are, if that makes you feel bad, that means you've had the wrong self-image. I'm not against self-image. I'm just against this pride, arrogancy, that somehow the world revolves around me and rotates around me and my little existence in this world, and that somehow or another, what's most important is that I feel good about myself. Hogwash. What's important is that I'm right in the sight of my God. That's what's important. What's important is that I see myself the way he sees me. See, I have to stand before God and realize I am a sinner. I'm a thief. I'm a rebel. I'm a murderer. I stand before God today like this man Barabbas. But you know what's amazing is my God still loves me, still sent his Jesus, Savior, Jesus, to die for me on the cross, to pay for my sins, to redeem this rebel, thief, murdering fool who stands before him today. And in a moment of repentance and faith, I trust Christ, I get saved. That's incredible. But you got to start where you are to get before God so he can do what he needs to do in your life. So in a real respect, we could learn from Barabbas. In some ways, we are Barabbas. But also, you know what else we could learn from Barabbas? Look this morning, listen carefully. This crowd that's there, the religious crowd, this is the mob. By the way, never forget, in that crowd are people who sat there and let Jesus feed them loaves and fishes. Same crowd. Then there's the religious crowd. They despised Jesus because he nailed their hide to the wall for what they were and what they weren't. Then there's the political crowd, Pilate and his bunch that's up there. And after all the trials and judgments through which Jesus would go, declared again innocent in every one of them, but guilty, the crowd has a choice. Jesus or Barabbas. And the crowd chooses sin over the Savior. Why is it in Revelation 21:8, that list of people who wind up in hell, why does it start with fearful? It gets to horrible people, whoremongers, murderers, sorcerers, idolaters. It gets to that crowd. Why is it that it starts with the fearful crowd? Why is it the first person on the list in Revelation 21:8 who winds up in hell forever are people who are fearful? Not people who get scared. I mean people who are fearful. What are they fearful of? They're fearful of giving up their religion. They're fearful of giving up what they want to do. They're fearful of this. They're fearful that when they come to Christ in salvation, you don't have to give up anything to be saved. You just have to realize you're a sinner, trust Christ, and get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people who are afraid of what they know Christian life will do. They'll know what salvation will do in their life, and they're fearful of that. They're fearful it affronts their religion. They're fearful it affronts their philosophy. They're fearful it affronts their way of living. They're fearful that it's going to mess up their life. And I got news for you, pal. It'll mess you up. Salvation will mess you up real good. But good news, God will make it right in your life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New creature, new creation. God will take and make a brand new you out of that. That's a good thing. Oh, don't fear that. But many do. Why would a crowd standing there knowing Jesus was perfect? Again, I'm going to say it to you. They watched him break loaves and fishes. They watched him stand before Lazarus' grave, dead 4 days, and say, Lazarus, come forth. And he stepped out of that grave very much alive. They saw all of this. Not only that, they sat at his feet. The great Sermon on the Mount there from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. They heard the greatest preacher of all preachers stand and declare the word of God in such a way. And they were in that crowd that said, never man spake like this man spake. They heard him. They saw him. They watched him. They saw him in his life. They knew who he was. And they chose sin over the Savior. You see, that's why it's wrong. Look at me. That's why it's wrong to not get saved and trust Christ. Because salvation is trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You're choosing the Savior, the Son of God. You're not choosing me. You're not choosing church. You're not choosing religion. You're choosing Christ to be your Savior. And anything but trusting Christ to save you is sin in the sight of God. Yeah, but I'm not killing anybody. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not doing... No. We either choose the Savior and salvation or we choose to pay the penalty of our sin. One or the other. And the crowd, the popular crowd, chose the sin. The political crowd, they chose the sin. Look what they're doing to us today in our society. If you lift up the Lord Jesus Christ as he is, and then it points to somebody's life as a sinful life, people say, that's not right, I choose the sin. No. We learn from Barabbas, you have two simple choices today. Salvation through Jesus Christ or the penalty of your own sin. You know what we learned from Barabbas? Barabbas is set free. He was going to die. He knew, and then, by the way, he knew the kind of death he was going to suffer. Crucifixion. The Romans had perfected crucifixion as a way of capital punishment. They didn't just, you don't die because someone nails you to a cross. You die because you hang by your body weight and suffocate. So they beat you so the blood will flow and you lose your strength and you suffocate. And if you don't die fast enough, they break your legs so you can't push yourself up through the nails driven through your ankles to get yourself a breath so you suffocate. And if that doesn't work, they thrust a spear into your heart to bust it, so then you'll die. It is a horrible torture. Sometimes people would live 3 or 4 days on the cross before they died. And if they really wanted to torture the person, they would give him something to drink and let him live just long enough to keep struggling for every breath. So he would, and 3 or 4 days, sometimes they live on the cross. It was a horrible way of dying. Look at me, Barabbas knew he was going to die like that. That they were going to take him and beat him, and they were going to take him and nail him to a cross. He knew what was ahead of him. And he's standing there beside Pilate. No doubt in his mind, he's thinking, they're not going to take me over him. I mean, this is a good man, I guess, but I know what I am. I'm a criminal. Turn him loose. And Barabbas, shocked, but look at me. He took the freedom Jesus gave him by taking his place and just walked off. You know what happened to Barabbas? We have no idea. None. Tradition says he later became a Christian and all kinds of truth is we don't know that. I do know this. Look at me. Barabbas took his freedom and took what Jesus did for him and just walked off. That's like people who say, well, I believe in Jesus. Big deal. You need to. Now listen. You need to believe in the virgin born Son of God, God in human flesh, Jesus. Yeah. Sinless, pure, went to the cross, died vicariously, that means in our place, dipped his soul into death, rose from the grave 3 days later. You need to believe that, but you need to do more than that. You need to trust that Christ paid for you. We got all kinds of religions that believe in Jesus. I'm sick of this stuff where people say, well, we include Jesus in what we believe. Oh, it's so nice that you include him. No, he's the preeminent one. We don't include Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And what has happened? Barabbas just gets his freedom and walks off. That's a picture of how people will believe in Jesus, say that they're Christians because they're not Buddhists or Hindus or Muslims or atheists. They believe in Jesus and they just walk off. No. You got to do more than just believe in him. You got to receive him. You got to trust him. You got to realize that he stands at the door and knocks. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, he said, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior. That's a definite, specific event and moment in your life. And if you don't have that, you don't have salvation. But it's also a picture of how Barabbas just walked off. There are people today who know Christ as their Savior. Look at me. And they just walk off. They got their life. They're going to do what they're going to do. Yeah, they look over and said, yep, that's the Son of God. I trust him as my Savior. Wonderful. Don't know if Barabbas ever got saved. Bible doesn't say so. I do know that it's a kind of a picture of how most Christians are today. Or I should say, let me say some Christians. Let me be a little more careful. Where they have their salvation and you ask them, are you a child of God? Yes, I am. Tell me about when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And they could give you the event in the moment where they realized they were lost. They turned to Christ and trusted him for their salvation. Him and him alone. Not baptism, not church membership, not good works, not holding out faith to the end, not trying to live it, not trying to live by it, not trying to live for it, but realizing I'm a sinner, I trust Christ as my Savior, they get saved. But then you ask them, what are you doing with the life you've got? Well, I have my own life. Barabbas. You just walk off. We need more today, ladies and gentlemen, we need more today than nominal Christians who settle the fire insurance question and have salvation. We need Christians who are going to get serious about this thing, about what God did when he saved their soul and their life, and do something with that. I tried to read on some things and figure out whatever happened to Barabbas and all kinds of stuff, and you get into all this, you know, historiology and all the junk that goes on and everything else. And frankly, I finally just quit reading about it because I thought, you know, if first of all, God wanted to know, he'd put it in his word. But you know something? I know this. There have been too many times in my life when I had my salvation, knew it, and I didn't live up to it. Barabbas. You know what we learned from Barabbas lastly this morning is this. You understand it's a clear picture of what is called in the Bible atonement. Jesus is going to pay for this man's sin, by the way, and everybody out there in that crowd. And everybody in this crowd, too. And Jesus is going to take the punishment and the penalty Barabbas had coming to him, and he's going to bear it himself. Say, well, yeah, I think that's what salvation is. No, 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 that is what salvation is. When Christ died for us on the cross, he atoned for our sins. Atonement means a covering. His blood has covered us. When God sees us, he sees us through the rose-colored glasses of the precious blood of the Son of God. And we have that. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, the Bible said, my Calvinist friend. I said the whole world. Yeah, listen to me now. Jesus died on the cross, and his blood has atoned us to the righteousness of God and covered us. That's where our salvation is. Watch me, and that's where your security is. Your security is in the fact that Jesus has atoned for your sins. He did that one time. You trust Christ one time. You have salvation. You have salvation one time. That's all you need. You don't get saved. You're not born again and again and again and again and again and again. You trust Christ, you get saved. Atoned, covered, and paid for. Release Barabbas, he said. Release Barabbas. And that man walked off into history. No, I don't like the idea that I'm like him. But I do love the idea that Jesus was willing to stand in the way of my judgment and my payment. And then it's gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Covered by the precious blood of my Savior. It has saved me. It has secured me. It has sealed me. It has given me my sonship. I'm a child of God today. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Barabbas sinner who trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and got saved. That's you today, my friend. Or is it? Let's stand our feet, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed.